know that Justin has that here. And if he doesn't, then church, give it to him. That's either an amen or an oh me. But if it's not easy, make it easy for him. Amen. And change it. We often talk about changing the church culture. And Billy Sunday said one time that he wasn't sure that we needed to bring in anything new as so much as the old bunch just need to get made over. Man, yeah, like, right out of the gate, he's ripping. But that's okay, amen. I've been in commune with the Lord, and I thank God for the opportunity. How about I hush and quit meddling and go to the Bible, amen? Leviticus, Levitical law, the book of Leviticus, chapter number 25. Now, I'm doing something tonight that is unique for me in my ministry. I'm preaching a message that my church has never heard before. That's unique. Usually I don't do that. I typically reserve that for our church, and the Lord just began to burden my heart even more, and didn't even have a title until tonight when our wonderful, faithful sound man come up to me and he said, what's your title for tonight? I thought in my mind, man, that's an excellent question that I don't have the answer to. I said, I guess Jubilee. Back in November, I guess it was, Justin contacted me and asked me if I would come and be a part of this meeting. And, of course, it's exciting to get to be here and to get to stand in this pulpit where so many mighty men of God have stood and get to be part of that. You know, I remember hearing about this meeting when I was a kid, and I remember being a younger preacher than what I am now. I'm still young, amen. But I remember being a young preacher, and I would think, man, I wish they'd let me preach. Y'all preachers might not understand that, but you young preachers, you will. Man, I wished I could get there. I wished I could be there, and then here I am. And just about 25 years after those thoughts went through my mind, amen. So the Lord had to do some preparation, but I'm thankful to be here, and I appreciate the opportunity. Leviticus chapter number 25 and verse number 8. Leviticus 25 and verse number 8. I've heard a few pages still going. The Bible says, "And thou shalt number 7 Sabbaths of years unto thee, 7 times 7 years, and the space of 7 Sabbaths of years shall be unto thee 49 years. Then shalt thou cause the trumpet of the Jubilee to sound on the 10th day of the 7th month, in the day of atonement shall ye make the trumpet sound throughout all your land. And ye shall hallow the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. It shall be a jubilee unto you, and ye shall return every man unto his possession, and ye shall return every man unto his family. A jubilee shall that 50th year be unto you. You shall not sow, neither reap that which groweth of itself in it, nor gather the grapes in it of the vine undressed. For it is the Jubilee. It shall be holy unto you. Ye shall eat the increase thereof out of the field. In the year of this Jubilee, ye shall return every man unto his possession. And if thou sell aught unto thy neighbor, or buyest aught of thy neighbor's hand, ye shall not oppress one another. According to the number of years after the Jubilee, thou shalt buy of thy neighbor, and according unto the number of years of the fruits, he shall sell unto thee. According to the multitude of years, thou shalt increase the price thereof, and according to the fewness of years, thou shalt diminish the price of it. For according to the number of the years of the fruits doth he sell unto thee. Ye shall not therefore oppress one another, but thou shalt fear thy God, for I am the Lord your God. Wherefore ye shall do my statutes and keep my judgments and do them, and ye shall dwell in the land in safety, and in the land shall ye, and the land shall yield her fruit, and ye shall eat your fill and dwell therein in safety. And if ye shall say, what shall we eat the seventh year? Behold, we shall not sow nor gather in our increase. Then I will command my blessing upon you in the sixth year, and it shall bring forth fruit for 3 years. Did you catch that? Can you imagine the amount of faith that God's people are having to exercise here? We don't want you to work. We don't want you to till the ground. I don't want you to do anything. I just want you to trust me for 3 years. Verse 22 says, and ye shall sow the eighth year and eat yet of old fruit until the ninth year, until her fruits come in, ye shall eat of the old store. I'm going to stop reading right there. Father, please use your word tonight. God, help me to be a willing vessel unto you. Use me, Father, to proclaim your word. Not my opinions, not my thoughts, Lord, but what your word says. God, help me, help this dear church, help Gateway, use tonight to be an earmark in our lives. I pray, God, if there be somebody here that does not know you and the free pardon of sin, that they would be saved before it's everlasting too late. I pray, God, if there be someone watching online, God, in this message catches their attention. Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit would fall on them and convict them of their sin, show them that they're a sinner in need of a Savior, and right where they are, Lord, they may be born again. Father, I pray that you would grant it so to be. Have your will and your way used tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. In Leviticus chapter number 25, we're looking at the sabbatical time. We're looking at the rest that God has told them to give the land. Of course, you're welcome to read the remainder of the chapter. It is quite lengthy. It's one of the more long chapters of the book of Leviticus, but you're welcome to go home and read the rest of it. It'll certainly be a blessing, by the way. If you've never read through the Bible, a lot of people often say, well, I get bogged down right there in Leviticus. And look, I get it. The book of Leviticus, the Levitical law, is a lot. It's a lot to take in. But there are some nuggets in God's law. Amen. I mean, after all, the law is our what? Schoolmaster. Amen. That teaches us what we're doing wrong, how we're doing wrong, what we're living wrong, and then shows us what needed to be done in order for us to get right. But instead of us having to do it, Jesus went to the cross and did it for us. Amen. And so there's no need of another sacrifice. He is enough sacrifice, and thank God for that. But we find the only mention of Jubilee, and this is a Jubilee meeting, so how fitting for this. The only mention of Jubilee is in Leviticus 25. Leviticus, in the Levitical law, is the time of rejoicing, the time of happiness, the time of being excited. I mean, that's what Jubilee means, after all, to be jubilant, to have jubilation. And so when we are in a Jubilee meeting, and I'm just going to shake it off. Here we go. When we're in a Jubilee meeting, and we sit here and we say, well, bless me if you can, choir. You ain't having no Jubilee. Amen. When you get into the Jubilee meeting and you cross your arms and throw them up over your hands and say, well, I just don't know if I'm going to get anything out of this message tonight. You're probably not, you half-carnal Christian. Amen. Y'all okay? My church is used to that. Listen, we have this idea that we can do what we want, say what we want, go where we want, live how we want, and then come into church on church night and everything be great and shouting off the walls and having a good old time. Friend of mine, the Holy Spirit of God doesn't work like that. Amen. Am I still on camera? Okay. So one thing that you'll notice in that reading, in the verses that we read, is that the Jubilee didn't start until the atonement was finished. until the atonement was finished. See, the wonderful thing about Jubilee is that Jubilee was it's usually every 50 years. There's some of you that have made the Jubilee wedding anniversary, and God bless you and thank God for you and thank you for your faithfulness and to one another and to God, because anybody stay married that long, it takes the good Lord to keep them that way. Amen. You can ask my wife, she'll tell you. But in the Jubilee year, debts were forgiven. People were set at liberty. Lives that were in bondage were set free. People that owed tremendous amounts of money, their debts were written clean. Could you imagine that? You have a car payment, a truck payment, or a mortgage, and man, you've been paying on that thing for about 15 years, and you know what you got left owing, and maybe one of them crazy interest rate things going on right now, and it just keeps going up, and it gets harder and harder to write that check, and you walk in there to the mortgage office one day, and somebody, that loan officer, or somebody looks at you and says, hey, it's Jubilee year, everything's paid for, everything's done, you got your house free and clear, you don't have to worry about a thing. That's what happened in Jubilee time. Amen. So there was great rejoicing. Somebody go down to the bank and find out they didn't owe no more money. Hallelujah. Somebody go to take care of their car note. You don't owe it no more. Somebody go to pay off a debt. And the only way they could pay off a debt, Brother Allen, would be to work it off. And they've been working for 3, 4, 5 years. And they've worked hard and they've worked diligent. And they come in Jubilee year. And the master of the house looks at them and says, man, you've done a great job. You've been a tremendous help and a tremendous servant. But you're free to go because it's Jubilee year. That's the only reason. That's what is going on here. That's what Jubilee is all about. Verse number 10 says, ye shall hallow the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout all the land. But that doesn't happen until... I like what verse number 9, I guess I got ahead of myself there. Verse number 9 says, thou shalt cause the trumpet of the Jubilee to sound. Oh, that's a good one there too. See, that particular trumpet was different. Now, if you look up this word Jubilee in this passage of Scripture, and you go all the way back to the Hebrew, and you read what the Hebrew said, it's a word, I'm not a Hebrew. I'm not a Hebrew scholar, but there's my rendition of it. There's a Villarica, Georgia rendition of it. Amen. That word there means a shout or a proclamation. And this particular proclamation was different from every other horn that they heard. It is the same word that is used when Joshua carried the Israelites and they went to Jericho and they marched around the walls. And y'all remember that story? And he said, I want you to be quiet. And on the seventh time, the perfect time, I want you to shout. And when they shouted, them walls come tumbling down. Amen. Y'all remember that, don't you? We're a basic Bible study now. This is the same word that is used there. It's a unique sound. It wasn't just the horn that you heard all the time. It wasn't just the sound of the shofar calling you to worship. It was something that was jubilant, that was a little bit more, we'll say it had a little bit more happiness to it. And they would blow that particular sounding trumpet, and when they would, everybody knew that 49 years had passed, and it was time to celebrate for a whole year. They didn't have to ask what horn it was. They knew by the sound. So, in the 10th day of the seventh month, in the day of atonement, shall you make the trumpet sound. So here is this day of atonement. Well, what does that mean? When Exodus chapter number 29, we read about there needing to be an atonement. Now we know because of the book of Hebrews that the blood of bulls and goats and calves could not atone. So the atonement here is a picture of it being covered, of it being overtaken. Sin is not gone yet, is covered over by the blood. We got an old hymn that we used to sing, "When I see the blood," amen, "I will pass, over you." That's what's pictured here. The blood of those animal sacrifices would cover over the sins of Israel, and God would once again allow them to have liberty and freedom and to be set at freedom in their life and in their walk with Him. That's what's happening here. That's what the Day of Atonement means. As soon as that Day of Atonement would hit, they would sound that special trumpet sound, and everybody would begin to rejoice and be happy, and they would begin to proclaim liberty. Verse number 10, throughout all the land. They had proclaimed liberty throughout all the land. Amen. Dear friend of mine, this is Jubilee, right? How many of you have went out and proclaimed liberty throughout the land? Every one of us wants to shout it out. Nobody wants to tell anybody about the atonement. This blessed old book that we have, this wonderful, praise the Lord, yes sir, this Bible that God has given to us, this that we believe is the sole book for our faith and practice, it is what we say that we guide our life by. Brother David Gibbs, the leader of the Christian Law Association, has said this question many times. He says many times he's been in a courtroom and he has asked, or he has seen a prosecutor ask a witness, "You believe the Bible is your final authority for faith and practice?" And they always say yes. "Do you believe that God breathed and inspired this Bible and it is meant for you? It is God's love letter for you?" And they always answer in the affirmative, "Yes, we believe this." And the very next question that prosecutor asks is, "Have you read it through?" More times than he can count, the Christian has to say no. How can we proclaim liberty and celebrate Jubilee when we do not know our Bible? We proclaim to know the God of the Bible. We proclaim to know the rules of the Bible. We proclaim that we believe that this book governs our faith and practice. Yet we are illiterate. How can we have Jubilee when we don't know the Word of God? Now, if we say that we don't know the Word of God, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God." When we reveal that we don't know the Bible and proclaim liberty throughout the land. The Bible says in John chapter number 8 that if any man be in Christ, or John 12, if any man be in Christ, he is free indeed. How can we proclaim freedom and liberty if we do not know the Word of God? How can we have Jubilee and have a jubilant church service and a jubilation time, we don't know the very one who sends the Jubilee? There's a reason why God put His law here, and it's so that you and I can have a schoolmaster to show us what to do. To show us what to do. Oh, how we need to know what God's Word says. You know, the Bible, we often attribute it to heaven. The Bible says, "I have not seen, ear hath not heard, neither is entered in the heart of man what God has in store for those that love Him." Those that love Him. You know, I love Brother Justin, I love my wife. And it took me 17, 18 years to learn this. I'm not joking. It took me a long time to learn this, that the greatest way that I can show my wife that I love her is that I listen to the words that she says. That I listen to her, and even still, brother, she looks at me and says, "Are you even listening to me?" And sometimes, Brother Snyder, I just had to look at her and say, "No, honey, I wasn't." And she grits her teeth. She balls her fist and says again what she said once. Thank God for a merciful wife. Amen. But as a child of God and as a Christian, what's a great way for me to show, man, if I love the Lord my God with all my heart and with all my soul and with all my mind, and yet I'll allow His Word to escape my time and day, how can I really say that I love the Lord? I believe that I have an idea that I have created in my mind of what God is, and that's what I love. Did you catch that? We create an idea of who God is, what God is, and God give us, you don't have to wonder about who God is. You don't have to wonder about the will of God for your life. Paul said it, and this is the will of God in Jesus Christ concerning you. You don't have to wonder about the will of God. You have the will of God. Well, you don't know how I feel. Stop right there. I'm about fed up with all this feeling stuff. You'd rather go off your feelings than off what a 400 years old just in the English version. And you'd rather go off of what you felt. There's a problem there. And the problem is that your feelings don't line up with the Word of God. Let God be true and every man a liar. Romans 9:1 says, I speak the truth in Christ, I lie not. When we get outside of the Word of God in explaining our beliefs, we become a liar. A sounding brass and a tingling cymbal. We're certainly not proclaiming liberty throughout the land. I was hoping this was going to be one of them good, sweet shout-out messages too. I really was. There's another thing that happens here. In verse number 17. Verse number 13. In the year of this Jubilee, ye shall return every man unto his possession. You're supposed to let them go. See, there's freedom two ways here. If you had someone that was working off a debt with you, you have the responsibility of finding something, everything for them to do, everything for them to look after, what they're supposed to take care of, and that's a burden. If you've ever managed people or organized people or anything like that, easy as some people make it look and make it appear to be, it's a burden. And it can often be a discouragement and a thing that we deal with that we don't really tell anybody about. I mean, it is often a lot of trouble, or it can be. And then that person, they really don't want to be there. They're just doing it because they owe money or they owe something. They owe you a favor. The Bible says to release that in the Jubilee. Or maybe there's somebody here tonight and somebody did you wrong. And I mean, man, this is a long time ago. I had an uncle. He's dead now. He's in heaven. He died in 2006. And after he died, he never had any children. He was only married for a brief period of time. It ended in a horrible divorce. Years went by. 2006, it was sometime in the early 1960s, they divorced. In 2006, we were going through his stuff, cleaning out his stuff, and I was tasked with cleaning out a room in a barn. In a barn. And I climbed up in this room, in this barn, and I found a checkbook that had his wife's name, his name, and his wife's name on it. And he had went through that checkbook and he had scribbled her name out. And he held on to those checkbooks. Worthless. No money in the account, we checked. I'm just preaching. I didn't say I was perfect. Wasn't nothing in there to get. It was worthless. They were just pieces of paper. But he held on to them. You know why he held on to them? Because he loved his bitterness more than he loved forgiveness. And rather than releasing that and allowing that person to walk free and allowing himself to walk free, he held on to that bitterness. The situation of his death, quite literally, he died alone in his home with nobody around. Had it not been for one of the nieces going by 2 days later and checking on him, nobody would have known he was gone. That's a sad story. That's a personal experience that I experienced. But it illustrates the principle that I'm trying to get across to you tonight. I often say this at Gateway, that being bitter towards someone is like drinking poison and hoping they'll die. God said, release them to their own possession. Let them go back. Let it go. Quit holding on to whatever it is. Whatever it was that happened. Whether it was 2 days ago, 10 years ago, 25 years ago. I mean, even Disney movies has got sense enough to teach that principle. Y'all remember The Lion King? Don't act like y'all ain't watched it. That old baboon whacked Simba over the head with that cane. And he says, what was that for? And he says, what does he buy? Does he depassed? Amen. Doesn't matter, you got a knot on your head. That's a stinking cartoon. Teaching a principle that we find in the Bible. My goodness, this principle of forgiveness and letting things go that are in the past and not holding on to those. Why? Simply because it is Jubilee time. Time to be happy. It's not time to be upset and soiled up anymore. It's time to be glad. It's time to rejoice. It's time to smile a little bit. I had a teacher when I was in middle school. Her name was Miss Dixon Phillips. And Miss Dixon Phillips, she told me, she said, when you smile, it sends positive something or another's through your body and makes you happy. I don't know what that is, but I like smiling. I can be mad and I go to smiling and I get glad. And I found out too that I get glad in the same pants that I get mad in. And I get to be happy, but it takes me releasing something. It takes me letting go of something. It takes me saying, hey, this is Jubilee in my life and I can be refreshed and renewed and revived if I just let everyone go to their own possession. Verse 17. The Bible says, ye shall not therefore oppress one another during this year of Jubilee. We in good shape. It's only 7:56. Ye shall not therefore oppress one another, but thou shalt fear thy God, for I am the Lord your God. You ever had somebody come to you and say, you know, I was thinking about teaching a Sunday school class. So what does that got to do with oppression, preacher? Well, here's where oppression happens within Christians. Well, I'm thinking about teaching a Sunday school class. Now, let me tell you what Brother Justin's going to say. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let me get it organized for you. Wait, let me rewind that. We're going to check your credentials. Y'all okay? Then we're going to get it organized for you. Somebody come to you and they say, I want to do something in service for the Lord. Oh, I don't know if you ought to do that. Brother Snyder, I sure am glad Brother Ben didn't listen to the people that said, you ought not start that children's home. Ain't you? I sure am glad that he didn't listen to those ones and get under that oppression. This is real, what I'm about to tell you. This is not fake. This is not fantasy. Demonic oppression happens in churches every single week of the year. They can't possess you. You saved, you born again, you're a child of God. They can't possess you, but they can sure oppress you. And believe it or not, like it, lump it, or bump it, sometimes the devil comes to church too. You will find that it's the people that love you the most that oppress you from doing things for the Lord. They love you. They don't want to see you get hurt. The Bible says the just shall live by, y'all not saying it loud enough, the just shall live by
faith.
Speaks pretty clearly, doesn't it? Doubt is the opposite and perhaps even the absence of faith. I don't know if God will do that through me. How do you know? You hadn't tried yet. I don't know if God will use me to win anybody to Him. Or have you given anybody a gospel tract? I don't know if God wants to work in my heart and in my home and in my life. My family is just about to fall apart and I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know which way I'm going to go. The just shall live by faith. Quit trying to fix it. Quit trying to make everything perfect and right and present it that way. My family, my home, we're messy. We have some arguments. We have difficulty. We have discouragement. We have disappointment. Ain't nobody perfect. Get that idea out of your mind and quit allowing that oppression on you. When you look at someone else and see what they got and get oppressed rather than blessed. You're not supposed to oppress one another. You know why people don't talk about their burdens? Because they're more worried about that oppression of gossip happening. What about that? That's an oppressive thing, man. I've had people come to me, Brother Allen, and the reason that they don't go to a church, this is what they'll say, because somebody was talking about me. The tongue is a deadly, deadly tool. And if we are not careful, we will utilize that thing to oppress rather than to bless people. Whatever we speak in our home, it's going to come out at the church house. I know it. Me and my youth director sitting back there, wait a minute, no, you're not that anymore. My administrative pastor. We got another youth director. He wasn't able to be here tonight. An administrative pastor. We had a missionary in, and the missionary said something that stuck with he and I might not have it right exactly, but he said, I won't believe the things, let's see if how'd that go? What he said. So, hey, we'll have to watch it later, brother. I get with you. You like me, amen. Yeah. Too many Christians oppress one another. We got one more thing, and we'll be done, amen. 8:02, y'all, we're running well. Taco Bell's not going to run out of food. And if they do, that ain't the Taco Bell you need to be eating at. Verse 24. And in all the land of your possession, ye shall grant a, can y'all say that word with me? Redemption for the land. Now this is a picture of God telling them to give the land a rest. Let the land take it easy. Let it rest for a little bit. Let it not be overused, because it'll pull all the nutrients out of the ground and nothing will grow there. Give it some time. Give it some space. Let it recuperate. You saw an example of that just a little while ago. I finished leading the choir. Brother Justin said, catch your breath, brother. Catch your breath. That's what that is. That's a time to recuperate. Well, what does that got to do with me spiritually, preacher? What does that mean to grant a redemption? Well, there's kind of a dual meaning or several little meanings we pull out of that, but one of them is why don't you give yourself a little space and a little grace? And then the grace that you are willing to extend to yourself, be sure to extend that same grace to others. Be willing to say, man, I'm going to give them some grace. I'm going to go to them and allow them to make a mistake, to do something wrong. Did y'all know that people make mistakes? Did y'all know that teenagers do wrong things? I got a 17-year-old. I quit counting the stupid things he does. I love you, buddy. I know he's watching. I quit counting them. I just overlook them. Why? Because God quit counting the stupid things I do. And he overlooks them. And he grants redemption. Then spiritually, God has granted redemption through Jesus Christ on the cross. And it's not the blood of the bulls and the goats and the calves and the oxen and all of that, or the turtle dove or any of that. It's not that anymore. It's Jesus' own blood that he shed. He took it up there to the mercy seat, and it was sprinkled on the mercy seat. And there's no need for any more bloodshed, because his blood was enough. This blood is the last blood we'll ever need. And this blood has the power to redeem. So what about you? Have you been redeemed? I mean, God has granted redemption. I mean, if God cared this much for soil, imagine how much he cares for his creation in the human form. Why, he tells us that the hair of our head is numbered. He knows us so intimately. So much so, I get amazed with my blood vessels sometimes. I think about them. In the extremities of your body, you got those little capillaries. And blood pumps from your heart and through all of those arteries and goes all the way to the most extreme places on my body and makes sure that I have oxygen and nourishment. He cares enough about that to create my body to do that. Imagine how much He cares for you. Look at the design of your body. Look at your life and look at it through a lens of Jesus saves. Maybe you're here tonight and you have never put your faith and trust in Jesus. You can. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Verse 13 in Romans chapter 10, that's verses 9 and 10. Verse 13 says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." What about you? I mean, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that here it is again, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Father, in Jesus' holy name, Lord, I pray that You would convict in hearts. I pray that lives would be changed. God, I pray that You would give me Your wisdom. Give me Your help. No doubt, Lord, the devil will attack before I come out of this pulpit. God, I pray that You would give me Your ability. Give me Your help. Lord, help. Father, if there be one here that's lost and knows not the free pardon of sin, or one watching online, God, I pray that they would get saved before it's everlasting too late. There's someone that needs to get right with You, Lord. I pray that they come down to this old-fashioned altar and they would kneel down and they'd talk things over with You. God, have Your will in Your way. In Jesus' name. Would you stand with us, Brother Justin?